Third down and 8 off the 15. Flag thrown. Might be a free play for the Bucs. They'll look. Batted. No caught. Bray touchdown with Campbell smothering him. I think this is going to be on the house. It's a penalty. I think Atlanta was offside.
And here's a play fake. Ryan going to slip it across. Here's Sanu at the 20. Turns it up 10. Muhammad 5. Reaches in zone. Touchdown Atlanta.
How about that run after the catch?
Ortiz and Ito Smith right behind him in an eye. Give is to Ito Smith. Bounces outside. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Third rushing score for the Judge. Leading by 8. Play fake Ryan. Matt going to shoot it. Backside. Here's Hooper the catch. And Austin Hooper walks into the end zone for the Falcon touchdown after Ryan Smith gave him the old shoe duster.
And here to the near side, O.J. Howard and DeSean Jackson. Winston wants the throw. Cuts it loose. Down the field. Intercepted. KZ. DeMonte KZ caught a ball intended for DeSean Jackson because he was deeper than the deepest. Second down. Jameis looks middle of the field. That's caught. Howard, touchdown for Tampa. O.J. Howard, second year out of Alabama, has got his second scoring catch of the year. Snap to Winston. Falcons bringing 4. Winston with time for Godwin. Batted up, deflected, intercepted. Brian Poole in the end zone. Single receiver to the right is Godwin. Play fake, Winston wants to throw. Wide open, Godwin, touchdown. Aluakon was there, but Chris Godwin, the catch and the step into the end zone, and Dirk Cutter's going for 2. 3 tight ends, the running back Coleman, Jones the receiver. Here's Ryan looping it, Coleman the catch, touchdown Atlanta. Winston from the gun on the near hash. Takes the snap, middle of the field, Barber the catch, touchdown Tampa. Just kind of waited patiently. And ultimately, Peyton Barber slid out there wide open, Arch, at the goal line. This is going to be 57 yards for Bryant. Snap from Harris. Spot Bosher. Try is away, and it is going to be good. Winston takes the snap. Now he's going to keep it. Jameis Winston then flips it out on the field. It is scooped up, fumbled around. They slide it back to DeSean Jackson and throw it out of bounds as the clock expires.
It feels good. It was hard fought. You know, obviously division games are always going to be like that, but proud of the way that the guys battled and competed for 4 quarters.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, a winning Falcons Monday as we get the Falcons into the W column again for the second time this year, second time in the division, beating Tampa 34-29. And welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. And a lot of ways for you to jump into the program. We have a poll going on our Twitter where we want you to vote and also to reply as well. We're talking to you on our Facebook about this win. The poll on Twitter, at 929 The Game, 5 of the Falcons, 6 games have been decided on the final play of the game. How do you feel about the cardiac endings? 8% so far saying they love it. It's great excitement. 36% you saying they like it when we win. And 56% saying they hate it. It's too stressful because outside of that Steelers debacle, all the other 5 games have come down to the final play, and none more bizarre than that final lateral rugby-style play that Tampa tried to pull off yesterday.
You know, I was looking at the play, and I don't know what Jameis Winston saw, because it looked like from the outs, from looking at the play, it looked like the Atlanta Falcons were more in a zone defense because Brian Poole was up on the line. And as soon as Jameis took off, Brian was standing there looking right at him, and he pursued him. And then that's when Jameis started trying to lateral the ball and everything. I don't know what they were thinking. But to somebody's point, they were saying, well, DeSean Jackson might have gotten in. No, he wasn't going to get in. Those Sharks were swimming. He wouldn't have made it into the end zone.
No, I think what they were saying, I think the only thing the NFL was saying was, had DeSean Jackson caught the ball and managed to get in, he wouldn't have gotten in. But had, I guess the more interesting thing to me was the NFL actually reviewed the play, Dean Blandino, and said that Dean Blandino did anyway. And Dean Blandino looked at it, and not the NFL, but Blandino looked at it and tweeted out that he had said that if Jackson had caught it and somehow managed to get into the end zone, and as you said, he probably wouldn't have, but it would have counted. It would have counted because it looked like they were all laterals backwards, though it would have been, what a weird ending, huh? That would have been bizarre, and that was only because Tampa made 2 huge mistakes. Thank God they did. The first mistake was, with 12 seconds to go, they have, you know, a chance to actually have 3 plays into the end zone, and Jameis stepped up and threw it away. I still think that play took longer than 5 seconds. But with 7 seconds to go, Hugh, they could have taken a shot into the end zone and still had a tick left, if it were incomplete, or maybe two, and run that play. And they decided to run that play then, which was just weird. So now, as you looked at it again, do you think that that was a designed play?
Well, it looked like it'd be. But the thing that I don't understand is when Jameis ran it, he ran into the middle of the field. Like, he ran exactly into the middle, and then he tried to lateral it. And that's when guys were trying to lateral it. And DeSean Jackson screaming for the ball, and he's not even prepared to catch it when it's thrown to him. It was a lot going on with that play. It was a lot going on with that play.
Yeah, and if I'm a Tampa fan, I'm screaming, going, why didn't you just throw the ball into the end zone like a normal person? Mike Evans got a mismatch, doesn't he?
If I'm a Tampa fan, I'm looking at some of the plays that Jameis did. Now, granted, he had a decent day, but some of the throws that he made, like one to the end zone, he put too much mustard on it. That's when the ball was deflected up,
mm-hmm, right,
and it was intercepted. It was some of the plays that he made, he could have put a little bit more touch on it. He could have made some better decisions at the quarterback spot.
The players reacted to this after the game. So the Falcons win 34-29, snapped their three-game losing skid. What did Julio Jones say about this victory?
It was very important. We had to start somewhere. So this can catapult us, you know, but we got to get in there tomorrow and just work on the things because we still didn't play our best ball today.
No, they didn't play their best ball, but they did manage to get a win despite all of that. Desmond Trufant on snapping the losing skid.
This win was big, man. It was, you know, the start of the season, it hasn't gone how we wanted it to, but, you know, it's still a lot of football left. We're still, I think we're 2-1 in the division. So we just got to keep pushing, take it one week at a time, and, you know, play with energy like how we did today, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, okay.
You know how many games they had.
Yeah.
Trying to play it off. But, yeah, he's right, though. Still a lot left to play for. It's just that when you look at it from our perspective, because we're not in the locker room, it's kind of tough because they've had a lot of injuries, decimated injuries, and still, even when you look at the game yesterday, yeah, you got to win, but there are some deficiencies, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, Bucks ran the ball pretty decent yesterday on the Atlanta Falcons. I got to look at the box score and see what it was, but they had some runs. They had some pretty decent runs yesterday in that game. And that's the thing that concerns you, because when you start getting into the deep part of this season, when it gets a little more football being played, teams like to run the ball a lot. And you know, that's something that you're definitely going to have to shore up. You're going to have to shore up that running game.
Yeah, you will have to do that. And the Falcons, of course, only ran for 70 yards yesterday against that Tampa defense. Matt Ryan talking about this victory as well.
It was important. You know, obviously, we put ourselves a little bit behind the eight ball to start the year. But we can chip away at it, and that mindset has to be the same this week. We've got to find a way to get a win against the New York Giants, and it's going to have to be our mindset from here on out.
Right, yes, it is. You're going to have to play a week from tonight on Monday Night Football against the Giants at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but that's a Giants team that we all know is struggling in its own right and has some issues. Of course, that was the way it was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, too. They were struggling and had some issues, and look what they did. So the Giants come in here on Monday night, and it was now another critical game for the Falcons. If they can win, suddenly they're going to be very much alive. What did you say, Hugh? Falcons are 2-4, and everybody but the Rams, who are 6-0,
the Rams and the Saints,
who are 4-1,
everybody only has 3 wins.
It has 3 wins. The Falcons have 2.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. So it's like when you look at it from the standings perspective, still got a shot. You got a shot.
The Falcons are 2-4, and of course, all the injuries we know about: Neil Jones, Allen, Jarrett, Freeman, Levitre. All those big injuries. We hold our breath today over Matt Bryant, Calvin Ridley, and Mohamed Sanu. Ridley with the ankle, Sanu with the hip, and we're not really sure what with Matt Bryant yet. But boy, that would be, it would be a gigantic loss.
Yeah, it is. It would be. And you're talking about to get back to the stat I was talking about: 123 yards on the ground for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what they had rushing for yesterday.
Yeah, they gashed him a couple of times. Yeah. Peyton Barber had a couple of big runs.
And you're talking about a team that came in and really hadn't ran the ball well, so that's something that you are a little bit concerned about, is the fact that they came in and was able to run the ball. So that D-tackles play up front, you got to get Grady back.
You know, you want to get Grady back. You want to make sure that you can get Ridley and Sanu. You hold your breath with Matt Bryant that it's not going to be a long-term thing. You have a game a week from tonight, so you have a little bit extra time to heal up. And then you have your bye week right after that. So between now and the 4th of November, which is, 20 days away, in the next 3 weeks, you only have one game. And so you have that bye week coming up with a Monday night game in between it. So here's a chance to kind of get healed up a little bit. Hopefully you can get some of those guys back. Devontae Freeman, maybe, with that. I'm not sure how long that foot's going to be hurt. Maybe Grady Jarrett comes back. Maybe Ridley and Sanu are fine. And then you pray for Matt Bryant. And then, shortly after that, in a couple of games, Deion Jones will be eligible to come off the IR. And what you want to do, if you can beat the Giants, maybe beat the Redskins, maybe even beat the Browns and go on a win streak.
Try to get ahead of this thing, man.
Right, and get Debo back and start to get healthy here. You know, maybe you're going to be making a run that nobody saw coming. That's all we can hope for at this point. We're talking about the Falcons. A lot of ways to weigh in. You could go to our Twitter this morning on this Falcons Monday, vote in the poll, and then, of course, talk to us on Twitter, talk on our Facebook page as well, or you can jump into the program at 404-741-0929. Love to hear from you on the phones to tell us what you think about all these cardiac games. Five of the six games the Falcons have played have come down to the wire. Do you like it? And did this win yesterday, does that give you a little bit of hope? I'm kind of curious about that, 404-741-0929. Right now, though, we want you to take advantage of the fact that it is a National Signing Bonus Monday and win yourself $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
worm. Was that on your list of disgusting foods? Because people do eat the worm, you know what I'm saying, when they have tequila.
In efforts to not get in trouble on this radio station, I'm just going to refrain from answering anything that you just asked me. I want to, but I'm not going to answer that question.
I tried. W-O-R-M, if you need to know how to spell worm, Ackworth. Worm to 72881. Worm to 72881. I don't pick the words. I think they're randomly generated. Beats the hell out of me.
You should look it up, though. You should look up some of the stuff on the disgusting food.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
I'm telling you, man, it's some unique stuff.
I saw the one thing you were talking about and said no.
Yes, they got some.
No, the members only thing. No, that wasn't going to happen.
Check it out.
Worm to 72881. Message data rates do apply. Do not text and drive. And of course, all the rules at 92thegame.com/rules. 404-741-0929. We'll be Arthur will be loading up the phones here in just a minute, and we'll take some of your reaction as we talk about the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, Hugh, let me ask you, do you think that, at 2-1 in the division, do you think that, because you asked Dave, I mean, mathematically they're still in it, they've been doing it by piecemealing this together with all these guys, and it's been impressive what the coaches have done in terms of the fact that they're 2-4, and you could see that if they could beat the Giants and go into the bye week, they could be, kind of hanging around, with all these injuries.
You're right, John, but I look at it, and to be honest, I think it was more of the mistakes that Jameis Winston made as opposed to that defense playing better, to be totally honest. But a win is a win. A win is a win, and you take it, and this is a great way to build momentum. So to answer your question, do I think that they can run off and make it to the playoffs? You probably can limp into the playoffs, but we had higher aspirations than that. We wanted to win the Super Bowl. That's where my mindset is with this team. Are they right now? Can they win a Super Bowl? No.
I'm not saying no. Nobody is.
So it's like as a channeling my inner fandom here. As a fan, what do you want? Do you want a respectable season? I know what most fans say. Or a draft pick. I vote for the respectable season. I vote for that and retool, regroup, and get it together next year. But most fans are probably looking at it and say, hey, just tank. Yeah. No, anybody do no
yeah,
tank.
Yeah, no, they're not tanking, no. My old friend Tony Bruno was tweeting at me yesterday, and Tony was telling me, John, you got to let the Super Bowl thing go. And I'm like, Tony, I did. Right now, I just want to win a game.
I miss Tony Bruno.
The great Tony Bruno. He's a good guy. He's a good dude. Old friend of mine. Kevin and McDonough is on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Kevin. So, Kevin, I mean, does this give you a little bit of hope, what they've done here?
As for you.
Yeah, I got hope in them. Being at the game yesterday, my main concern was about that, I don't know, that 8 to 15-yard range. It just seemed like we were getting killed constantly in that area. And I was going to ask you if there's a different scheme we can run defensively to try to fix that, or is that something we're just going to have to deal with?
You know what's funny, man? A friend of mine that follows me on Twitter, Ezekiel Love, he talks about this every day and blitzing more and talking about, I don't care what anybody says, you need to blitz more. I understand what you're saying, but their defensive philosophy is not that of a primary blitzing team. They're a zone cover team. And, in order to short it up, they rely heavily, to me, on the play of their defensive line, the front four. The front four and the pursuit of the linebackers. What you have to do in a situation like that, you got to get better play from your guys up front. And I think I don't want to put any words in Dave Archer's mouth, but I think when he was talking about there are still some areas where there's communication and there needs to be better play, I'm thinking he might be talking about that front line, because even you said it, John. When you look at the guys that were your big-time tacklers yesterday, most of the guys in the linebackers in the secondary.
Yeah, it was Oluokun, Poole, KZ, Richards. To this point, I need a hell of a lot more from Vic Beasley.
Yeah, you need to get your defensive line. I would think you want them to make more tackles than your linebacker. Your linebacker's gonna make a lot of tackles, but you want some defensive linemen to be up in there making tackles as well, too. You want them to be up in that mix as well.
All right, Ken and Brandon, hang on there. We'll get a quick break here, and then we'll take your calls. 404-741-0929. Does yesterday give you hope? And are you sick and tired of all the cardiac things, or do you love it? Your reaction next with John and Hugh on this Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was listening to the thing.
Now, we go back with Falcons Monday. A look back on the Falcons game.
All right, excellent.
Our Falcons play here
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A winning Falcons Monday as the Falcons knock off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. Does this give you hope now for the next game a week from tonight at Mercedes-Benz on that Monday night game against the Giants to be able to kind of crawl back in this thing and hopefully get healthy? And now we'll find out more today about the Falcons' injuries to Ridley's ankle, to Sanu's hip, and, of course, all of us are holding our breath about Matt Bryant. The Coach's Show comes up at 4 o'clock today live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game during Dukes and Bell. Wes and Dave talking with Head Coach Dan Quinn at 4 this afternoon. Of course, he'll have a newser as well. And you, we are all holding our breath. I'm Matt Bryant.
Yeah, the bad part about it is, John, you know, as we all know, like Dave pointed out, you know, we get a little older, man. It takes a little bit longer to heal. So hopefully this is something that is not too bad and it won't be something that's lingering. Because he was clutch yesterday. Matt Bryant was clutch yesterday. You're talking about a 43-year-old kicker that's still doing it. Like he's doing it. That was big. So hopefully today the news won't be as bad and Matt won't miss any time. I'm pretty sure Coach Quinn is going to be monitoring that, and that's probably going to be one of the – well, outside of that and Calvin Ridley, they're going to be one of the first questions that's asked about.
Right, no question. Matt Bryant. Because, you know, think about what the kickers had, the impact the kickers had in that game yesterday, how much the game changed with that first missed extra point by Tampa that forced them to go for two, and they missed that. That's a three-point swing. The Falcons get that field goal, and suddenly, instead of having to kick a field goal to win the game, Tampa's got to try and score a touchdown, and they run the weird play that they ran. 404-741-0929. Ken is listening in Las Vegas, Nevada this morning.
Where Ken.
Like 6 in the morning or something.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, great.
Hey, Ken, so do you have hope now, based on that win yesterday, the Falcons can somehow find a way to get a little healthier and maybe claw their way back in this thing?
Yeah, I got all the hope in the world. I felt the win yesterday. I felt the city just breathe, you know. We needed that win yesterday. We really needed that win. It was a great win, good team win. I love it. Yeah, I think we got hope.
I think we got hope, too. I appreciate that, Ken. I got to tell you that the hope that you see is not only in, you know, in the standings, but the hope is that you're going to get Grady Jarrett back. The hope is that it's not too bad for Bryant, Ridley, and Sanu. The hope is that you get Debo back. The hope is that, you know, this team can start to get at least a little bit healthier and that maybe you get Devontae back. Maybe we've gone through the worst of it, and Hugh, I hope so. I really do. That's the hope I have now, that we've gone through the worst of it, and maybe we start to get some good news in terms of getting our guys back.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case, John, and hopefully there are no more injuries that will set you back. Especially on that offensive side of the ball, man, because Muhammad Sanu might be a little banged up, and Calvin Ridley. Hopefully these guys can still be able to go, because if that's not the case, I mean, you still got Julio Jones. And Ito Smith is turning into a nice little addition to that running back crew. So you still have those guys, but with a team that has already been through as much as they've been through, the Atlanta Falcons, that is, you don't want to lose any more guys. You just don't want to lose any more guys.
404-741-0929. We go to Brandon, who joins John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning to you, Brandon.
Hey, what's up? What's up, y'all? Good morning. Good morning.
So does it give you hope, Brandon, a little bit that they won this game or no?
Well, it gives me hope, but I already been had hope because I know the whole NFC is all discombobulated. So it still gives open opportunities.
So how do you stand on all the cardiac finishes? It's one of our great questions this morning. If you had to vote in our poll, Brandon, what would you vote for? Would you say that, you know, 5 of the 6 down to the last play, love it, great excitement, like it when we win, or hate it because it's too bloody stressful?
Well, you know, we've been dealing with stress, so I think we should be accustomed to it by now. But I do believe, though, that the defense is getting better. I think the communication, we're getting turnovers. And I think once they continue cleaning up the penalties and the tackles, we're going to be there.
Right.
You know, it's funny that he mentioned that the turnovers yesterday was something that you didn't have a whole lot with this Falcon teams in the last few weeks. And they got them yesterday. That was big. And if you keep that going, man, I could deal with a defense that's a little bit porous right now. But if they're an opportunistic defense, then that gives them the a chance to stay alive and make some big plays. But it's just like being a home run hitter in baseball. You live and die with that home run. You know what I mean? You live and die with crushing the home run all the time. But if they're out there, if they're jumping routes and they're trying to make things happen because they are limited up front, I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't either. I know they want to keep everything in front of them. I wanted Devondre Campbell to maybe jump a couple of times in front of Cameron Brate, the tight end. He was playing behind him. They even noticed it, noted it on the broadcast. You know, get Devondre to kind of come around the other shoulder and maybe get in front of him and box him out a little bit, make him throw over him and try and make a pick.
All that happens, all that comes with a defense that's starting to get comfortable with one another. And that's why Coach Quinn pointed out last week that this is the first week that you get guys that have like a consistent group, because in order to do that, you have to have guys, in order to be able to jump routes and everything, you have to be out there with guys that you play with a little bit that understand how you play. And then that allows you to go out there and be a little bit more aggressive, because they understand how you play the game and they understand what you might do in certain situations, so they have your back. Because that's all you're talking about, is like guys having other guys back.
Now, we're talking with you about whether or not this gives you a little bit of hope now that the Falcons maybe can start to get some good injury news, and that could start today with hearing that maybe Matt Bryant's not all that dinged up and he'll be able to come back. Ridley and Sanu will be able to rejoin the team, and Devontae Freeman isn't far away, and Grady's not far away, and we got a game on a week from Monday and then an off week after that, and maybe we can start to get this team healthy. Dylan's in Jonesboro, and he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Dylan.
Hey, man.
So, Dylan, you got some hope now?
Man, I actually do, man. I feel really hopeful, man. I felt some heart in that game yesterday, a whole lot of it.
So what gives you the most hope? The fact that this team is able to do this with these players, that they're able to piece this all together, or that maybe we can, kind of hang on, get a couple of wins, and get our guys healthy again?
What gives me hope, man, and I'm going to be realistic here, and all honesty, the guys that we have, a lot of times they look out of place, the guys that are filling in for the injured guys, and it's hard to follow behind some of these guys, because we got guys that they would have made the Pro Bowl this year, I'm pretty sure, that are injured right now sitting on the sideline that won't be able to see the field this year. It's hard to follow behind that. So for them to live up to those expectations is almost insurmountable to be, how they came into the NFL, so, like Richard experiences. But for him to stay out there on the field and do his job enough for us to pull a game out, it's showing some heart, man. I think with that mentality, we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's a great point that he just made. They were talking about heart. We mentioned this earlier. Here are the guys making plays yesterday. Yes, Mohamed Sanu, who has really elevated his game in the last couple of weeks, made some phenomenal plays. And Austin Hooper, and yes, you had, of course, Julio Jones. But you had guys out there that were making plays. We saw Richards. We saw Oluokun, KZ, Poole, Russell Gage, Justin Hardy. Marvin Hall. These are the guys out there making plays. These are not your stars. These are your backups who are being forced into these roles who are coming through for you.
Yeah, Jack Crawford and Bruce Reeves. Both
recorded
sacks for you yesterday. So, yeah, guys are stepping up. But, it takes time. And even from that list that you mentioned, I like the fact that now it's starting to seem like it's more defensive players. That's what you're going to have every week, John. And hopefully this defense has turned the corner, and hopefully that they start to get it a little bit, because you got to understand, this will be coming up Friday. Well, coming up this week against the New York Giants. This will be the third week in a row that Coach Quinn has had kind of like the same guys out there defensively that are playing for him. So in essence, that's your third preseason game. So now, hopefully, the communication is starting to get down a little bit better, and we won't have some of the miscues that we had yesterday. Maybe we'll have a much better plan than we had this weekend.
A lot of fans like to talk about the guys that have had to step in, Oluokun, Duke Riley, KZ, those guys. But really, this is the one thing I need to start seeing more of the defense here, Hugh. When I talk about the big plays in the game, I'm not calling Dez, I'm not calling Rocky, I'm not calling Tack, and I'm not calling Vic. Those four guys, Dad Tack to some degree, and I'm not trying to say that he, but I need to call him even more. I know that you're asking a lot, but I need Tack to really explode here. But I need Vic and Dez and Rocky to come up with interceptions and not drop the ball, which they've done a couple of times.
Yeah, they did.
You know, dropped and it happened yesterday.
Dropped a few balls yesterday. Yeah, you got to take advantage of those situations, knowing that your defense is real porous right now. You have to be ball hawks, and you have when the ball is in the air, you have to go for it just like the receivers do, because that could change the momentum of a game. You know, your defense is reeling. They have a lot of – you're decimated by injuries. Grady Jarrett's not playing in the middle. You're kind of susceptible to the run. You're soft in the middle a little bit. When they throw the ball in the air, you have to look at it and say, hey, man, this is a great opportunity for us to get off the field. And try to get off the field.
Yep, and try and get off that field and get some guys, again, healthy is going to be a key, getting Derek Shelby back into the mix. But you're right. I mean, Jack Crawford had some nice plays. They're putting a kind of piecemealing this whole thing. But, yeah, I think there's something to be said. And this is the real challenge because, you know, at the moment, and I know that Dan Quinn talks about this. You can speak to it. But I'm kind of putting my foot down with Vic Beasley. I really need to see. We played six games, right?
Yes.
Vic has six tackles, six, and one sack.
Got to put
that's
your foot down
not
and do
acceptable.
What? I mean, he know he has to play better. He had some decent rushes yesterday. He had one rush where he got around a corner, and he was trying to bend it back in.
Where's the 15 and a half sack guy? Where's that guy?
I honestly don't think that's how Vic Beasley is viewed in this defense. I really don't. I think Vic Beasley gets a little bit of a pass because he's asked to do so much, John. I really do. I really think that is the case with Vic Beasley, because he's not really considered the pass rush specialist in my eyes on this team. I would think Tack would be more that guy, or Grady Jarrett would be more that guy. I don't think Vic is viewed that way. I really don't.
All right, we have a lot to cover here over the next few days. And again, the next game is not till a week from tonight on Monday night. It'll be a Monday night game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the Falcons and the New York Giants. By the way, the Taste of Atlanta is October 19th through the 21st. It is a must-do wine, beer, and cocktail festival that showcases the greatness and diversity of Atlanta's restaurants, attracts food lovers from Atlanta and all over the Southeast. Next, it's at the historic Fourth Ward, by the way, from the 19th through the 21st. We're going to give away a pair of VIP passes for Sunday the 21st to the first person. Hugh talked earlier about this disgusting food museum, right? First person that calls 404-741-0929 tells us what country that was in is going to win a pair of VIP passes to the Taste of Atlanta as it runs the 19th through the 21st at the historic Fourth Ward. When we get back in a moment, the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Falcons Monday. It is a Falcons Monday. Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, as we do every Monday, we recap our pick six from over the weekend, and a pretty decent job by all of us in this room for the most part this weekend. John, Hugh, and AT, you guys went 4-2. Daryl, you went 3-3. And
I went 4-2?
You went 4-2.
I mean, he's over me now, right?
I thought I was going to be 3-3 this week. Who did I pick? I forgot.
So we had Georgia Tech and Duke, and Hugh and AT both correctly picked Duke.
Okay.
We had Wisconsin at Michigan, and we all picked Michigan, so that was a win for us. Georgia at LSU. Hugh and Daryl both picked UGA. The rest of us picked the correct one, LSU. So those are your losses. Panthers at Redskins. The only people that did not pick Washington were AT and Daryl. Patriots versus the Chiefs last night. John and AT both picked KC to win that one. And then Hugh, you were the lowly one to pick the Bucks. But I'm going to pat myself on the back. I finally went 5-1.
All right.
And now here are the current standings. So Arthur is still in first place, 29-14.
Boom.
John, you are second, 27-16. Daryl, 25-18 rather. Hugh, 23-20. I'm coming on in 21-22, so this weekend definitely helps.
I have a question.
Sure.
How do we do these when we're out of town? Because
I can either email you the games that we're going to pick, and you can email me back or
text
you.
Yeah, they're about to go.
Email me, please.
Okay, you're
He's
out this week?
Go.
So,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. then I will make sure that we email Daryl the games that we are picking that way.
Hooray!
That way we can all be even moving forward. Well, speaking of Daryl, I know you're the resident Raiders fan. They got a shellacking yesterday, and there was a rumor before the before the game that the Raiders were planning to shop wide receiver Amari Cooper, and John Gruden has since denied those reports, saying, quote, I'm not. I'm just sorry to have to deal with a lot of these reports. But remember, he said he wasn't, or insisted rather, that he wasn't trying to trade Khalil Mack. So perhaps the denial should be taken with a grain of salt. So that was the latest coming from the Oakland Raiders. Now, I made a joke on Twitter that we should maybe the Oakland Raiders should trade John Gruden. And that has actually become a thing, and maybe it could become a thing this season, because if you remember back in the 2001-2002 offseason, the Raiders allowed John Gruden to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the price tag, do you guys remember the price tag of this exchange?
Yeah, it was like...
So it was an exchange for a first and second round draft picks in 2002, a first round pick in 2003, and a second round pick in 2004, plus cash. So you can actually trade head coaches. It's happened before with John Gruden. It would be kind of interesting if maybe that deal were made again where Gruden went from the Raiders to Tampa Bay. But I don't think anybody's giving up.
No, the carnage has already been done. They cannot trade him right now. After No.
Oh, he's owed way too much money. And I don't think no team out there want to pick up that.
10-year, $100 million.
Yeah, he's going to be there for a
while. 10-year, $100 million.
Insane.
Yep.
Well, do you guys remember what you did for your second birthday party or what you may have done for your children's second birthday party?
I don't remember. I was two. I was supposed to remember
that.
Well,
don't you have, pictures? I mean, I think I had, my birthday party at McDonald's.
I remember my son turned two. We all dressed up in Army fatigues. It was like an Army theme.
Yeah, I got my daughter a photo cake. I remember
But it was probably like a home party, something with the family, close family. Well, DJ Khaled, his son, Asad, turned two next week, rather, and instead of, the parties that we have at home, he hosted a carnival in his son's honor this past Saturday at Marlins Park in Miami. So he rented out the entire baseball park. So among the attractions at the party are a carousel, a chair swing ride, and a Ferris wheel. So he was also gifted his son this red mini little Ferrari
that
he could roll around in.
Asad is winning. Jeez. Like, as far as the childs are concerned.
Getting production and everything.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's getting production credits.
This is insane. So the bash also served as a launch for Khaled's We the Best Foundation to help kids worldwide, and thousands were donated to the organization at the event, which was pretty cool, including $100,000 from Derek Jeter and the Marlins. And it's a pretty impressive birthday party because he one-upped his first birthday party where Diddy performed at Live Nightclub. So I can't wait to hear what he's going to do when his son turns
how you gonna
3 years
that?
Old.
No, Asad's winning.
What's next?
Asad has been to music awards. Asad's been on album covers. Asad can barely even speak, and Asad has done more in his young life than most adults have.
It's like he won the Mega Millions or Powerball.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's what's going to happen when I win mine.
You're going to do all of that. You're going to host yourself a carnival at a baseball park. Well, this Jimmy Butler Timberwolves drama is revving up even more. You remember he showed up to practice, yelled at everyone essentially, and then somehow remained a member of the Timberwolves. Well, he's expected to play in Minnesota season opener against the Spurs on Wednesday, and if he's around for the home opener on Friday, the home crowd may have not have the warmest greetings for him because he said he is encouraging fans to boo him if he is still on the team. So when he has announced he is encouraging fans to now boo him, he said, quote, sure, go ahead, boo me. It ain't going to change the way I play. That's going to make me smile more. So please come on with it. So I think this will be an opener that people will definitely be paying attention to.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't made a deal, but I get it. I mean, That West is so loaded. You know, that Minnesota team would be a factor in the East. They are a non-factor in the West. I mean, totally.
Well, still more drama brewing up in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, there's been reports that he's supposed to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers
this weekend. Yeah.
But apparently he hasn't told the team that. So the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Gary Dulag is reporting that on Sunday that he has not heard from Bell about rejoining the team. So the team does not even know if Le'Veon Bell.
It was supposed to be this week, right?
Correct.
Yes, he's supposed to be there because week seven. Yeah.
Right, so he is supposed to be back with the team. Ben Roethlisberger praised James Conner, who's been filling in at running back for Le'Veon Bell on his last game with the team in his post-press conference yesterday. But apparently Le'Veon Bell hasn't even informed the Steelers that he is returning this week to practice. So will he or won't he? We'll have to wait and see.
Well, he has till Tuesday. He'll probably make a move Tuesday because he probably want to make it to Wednesday's practice and work himself in. But James Conner's been pretty decent for him. He's no Le'Veon Bell, but he's been pretty decent.
He's definitely been effective. Well, did you guys see this yesterday? Davion Clowney of the Houston Texans yanking Chris Ivory of the Buffalo Bills down to the ground. By a single dreadlock, not even his entire hair. There was a single dreadlock, and it's allowed now in the NFL. If you have long hair, you can pull on hair. So it is your choice as a player to have long hair. So it's going to be interesting to see if the NFL moves forward with a new rule that you can't pull players on the hair, because it almost looked like a horse tackle collar. I'll retweet the video at 929 the game if you haven't seen it, but it looked like a horse collar tackle, which is illegal.
I'll say this: if you're playing football and your hair hangs out of your helmet, then I think that's fair game.
I agree. I think it should be fair game.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, hey, it's
it
a part.
It looked like a brutal tackle. That's all.
Oh yeah, he got him down though. By hook or by crook, you got to get it done.
It is a Falcons Monday, a winning Falcons Monday. Rick and John chomping at the bit too. Top of the hour as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.